This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
It is 7:10. You're listening to the Evening Edition with Sharmila. It's another day, another set of university rankings, but this time there's some good news for us at least. So University Malaya continues to be ahead of other Malaysian institutions and has retained its place among the top 100 universities in the world for its fifth consecutive year. Now, this is according to the Quaccarelli-Simmons World University Rankings 2023. And the results account for the distribution and performance of 16.4 million academic papers published between 2016 and 2020, as well as the expert opinion of academic faculties and employers. So given that we've ranked, reasonably high in this list, so we've ranked at number 70 and achieved one of the world's top 50 employer reputation scores. That's for the second consecutive year. We improved two places in academic reputation score. That said, UM did drop 5 overall places from the previous rankings, resulting from its performance when it came to research. So I think largely this is a conversation that comes up a fair bit, whether these rankings are something that mean anything, that we should be paying attention to, and what does it say in terms of not just how we benchmark ourselves against the rest of the world, but in terms of how we can be improving our higher education here based on what our needs are. So we are going to try and unpack that in a bit, but we'd like to hear from you. Do you care about university rankings? You can call 77732900, WhatsApp 018-789-8899, tweet us at BFM Radio. Joining us now is Dr. Wan Chang Da, adjunct professor at the National Higher Education Research Institute at University Science Malaysia. Chang Da, thanks for speaking with us. The relevance of rankings always comes up when they're released. Where do you stand on this?
I guess the most important question we need to be asking year in and year out, as all these different rankings are being released at different time of the year, is what are these rankings trying to do, and what are they trying to show, and what are they trying to measure in relation to higher education? The most common answer you're probably going to get is that this is a reflection of the quality of teaching or the impact of research that universities are doing. My short answer to that is neither showing the real measure of quality of a university, and neither does it show the impact of research that the university is doing. I would just summarize it to say that ranking is a mere reputational kind of indicator, and we need to understand that who are the parties behind these rankings. They are actually for-profit companies whose business is actually to sell media. This is a media company that's behind this ranking, right? You have the Times Higher Education, you have the QS, which are both media company trying to portray this quality and impact in higher education. And we might think that these are very objective and very open measure to look at universities, which in fact is very much the opposite. So there are a lot of questions that has been left unanswered about what are these rankings trying to show. My stand is very clear. They are not relevant. In fact, they are a distortion that is changing the way higher education is progressing and developing.
If you could elaborate on that, talk to us about the arguments against these rankings. What negative impact might they have?
Okay. First of all, you need to understand that most of these rankings, taking a very simplistic way of only taking items that can be counted or can be measured. So very commonly in most of these rankings, only addressing the research component, because for a number of reasons, it's easy to calculate, it's easy to measure. Even that measurement in the area of research, I would argue, is very biased. It's a very simplistic and it's not a true reflection of what the research work of a university should be portrayed as, right? So if you look at the research component, for example, it's just showing the number of papers journal papers that was published by a university and what they call the impact factor. And the impact factor, it might sound like, oh, this is a very important kind of thing. I would use the illustration of the number of likes that you get on your Facebook post. It's as simple as that. And that like, it could be a thumbs up, it could be a thumbs down, but these are not captured. So the impact factor only capture the number of mentions of a particular piece of work. And this particular piece of work only is very restrictive to journal papers and certain chapters of books that is indexed by certain publishers. But we forgot the work of the university is much more than just producing journal articles, producing books with these international big publishers. Some of the work of the university also needs to address to, for example, the local knowledge, what is happening in our society. How are these research going to be translated into addressing real social problems that the university in which it is located? But the obsession with ranking has pushed the entire focus of the university into publications, into doing research for the sake of publishing in these. And hence, the flip side of it is, the consequences of it is that there will be a huge neglect on teaching. And so as universities become more obsessed with research for this kind of purpose, students tend to be neglected, all right? And hence then the quality of the teaching and the mentoring in the university will be seriously undermined. So these are some of the consequences of ranking. And I have not even talked about the biggest component of the ranking, that is the reputation. And if you look at how these rankings are developed, there is the more than 50%, I think it's, if I'm not mistaken, 60% of the weightage of the ranking is actually what they call reputation indicators.
So what then is the incentive for universities to constantly perform in these rankings? What are the benefits to them?
That's the only benefit is the chase for prestige. I remember a colleague of mine who's now a retired American professor who used to ask this question. Everyone is chasing to be the number one. Ultimately, when you reach the number one, what is it? What is there left to do? Apart from having the reputation that we are world number one, or we are the number one in Malaysia, we are the number one in the world. If tomorrow a Malaysian university becomes the world number one, if University of Malaya, let's say, for example, in 2 years' time, beat University of Oxford as the world number one, will we still believe that the ranking is a true reflection, that University of Malaya is much better than University of Oxford? So if we don't believe that, then what's the point of the ranking?
So then what are some better ways to assess the quality and performance of any given higher education institution?
I guess the most important thing is for each and every university to go back to its drawing board and to find its true purpose. Why does the university exist? If you exist for the sake of developing a generation of thinkers and scholars, of educated citizens of the society, then the emphasis on the university is how well are you doing what you're supposed to do in terms of educating the next generation of citizens in the country. Right. If the university's purpose is to do research, then the bigger question is what kind of research you should be doing and what is the use of that research, that knowledge that was generated to address immediate problems in your society. Most of the international audience won't have an interest on what is happening in Malaysia, for example. Right. So the Malaysian university ultimately should focus on doing research that address the local situation, the local needs, and use those knowledge that was generated about Malaysia, about the immediate context, right, to address the needs of our society, the needs of our economy, and to also feedback that knowledge into the teaching of the students. And through all forms of communication of that knowledge, not only to the students, not only to the academic community through the journals, but it's also taking the role of public intellectuals. University professors should be constantly educating the public through a variety of mediums and mechanism, for example, through the newspapers, through speaking engagement to the public. And all this cannot be captured by a simplistic number of a ranking. Because the obsession to go with ranking will essentially push us to do research that is publishable in the international journals, but there will be a neglect on the research that is really needed to help us understand what is happening in our society, how can new knowledge be used to address the needs of our society, our industry, and also generally our community as a whole.
So it's been pointed out that each country's priorities when it comes to their higher education goals might differ. What should we be focusing on right now based on our country's stage of development?
Let me take a little bit of detour to show how relevance research can be done. All right. This is a little bit from my personal experience about close to 8 years ago, when I have the chance to visit a university in Iran. This is a country under sanction. The university is only about 50 years old, but because of the situation of the country that is under sanction, you cannot adopt any new technology from outside. What it does then is that the universities are forced to develop their own technology to address the needs of the society. And this university, which is less than 50 years old, the university comes together, all the Department of Engineering come together to develop in-house a satellite that they send up to space. This was all done by a university. And the age of this university is about any of the Malaysian research universities. That shows that how important it is when the country is under sanction, a lack of resources, there's so many things that is putting a barrier on it, yet they continue to progress and research will becomes very important because it becomes a matter of survival. And what the Iranian has put in place is also very interesting. They are actually discouraged to publish their research work. In fact, they are encouraged to use their research work to address the actual needs of the society. The argument is that when you are focused on just publishing your results, you are probably not focused on applying what you have found in your research to address the needs, to go out to the industry, to go out to the community and to share that knowledge with them. And instead, it becomes very focused on writing in an English-speaking journal to address the international community.
Just to close off, what can prospective students do to look past rankings when they are selecting the right path for themselves?
If we understand that the ranking is focusing on research, and if you are a student going into the university, then bear in mind that the ranking is not a reflection of the kind of education you are going to receive. I graduated from the number one university in Malaysia, and I went on to do a master's in the number one university in Asia in the same field. But my experience of the quality of my education, my experience is totally different. I had a good time in the Malaysian university because I have lecturers, I have professors who is willing to spend time with me to mentor me. I have the flexibility to explore new areas in the field of economics, where that's where my first degree is. But when I went to that top university in Asia to do the same subject, you realize that the professors there are not interested to even spend time. You even have professors who tell you, please don't come and knock on my door to ask me any questions, because any time outside of this classroom is my research time. So you have that sort of mentality, because true enough, the ranking of that university is very much driven by research, not by the quality of teaching and learning. So I would strongly suggest, first and foremost, recognize the limitation of this ranking. It's very research-driven, it's prestige-driven. But to look carefully at the program, look carefully at the academics, the professors, and see for yourself, gauge for yourself, go and speak to them if you have the chance to see how open they are, how genuine are they in terms of not only teaching, but in terms of mentoring, who's willing to spend time with students, to talk to students. And these are the very important components of what makes up quality education. And these are not items or indicators that can be measured, can be put into the ranking. Talk to people who have gone through the programs, know the institutions, know the people in the institution, what kind of culture is there. And these are real important elements that make up of quality higher education for students.
Changda, thanks for speaking with us. That was Dr. Wan Changda, adjunct professor at the National Higher Education Research Institute at the University Sains Malaysia, weighing in on the value of university rankings and perhaps other ways in which we could be looking at quality higher education instead. We'd like to hear from you. Do you care about university rankings? You can call 7733 2900, WhatsApp 018-789-8899, tweet us at BFM Radio. We do have some messages. Let's start with this one from Che, who says, I'm a staff at UM. I'd like to highlight an important point that people usually don't realise when it comes to university rankings. The rankings for 2023, for instance, is based on academic papers published between 2016 to 2022. This means that they are the results of research work done from 2016 onwards, because publications usually come at least 1 year after a research project started. This means that there's actually a time delay between the effort and the result. Ranking at a particular year is usually the result of the funding, talent and management directions from 5 years ago or more. For UM, the research took off during the time of Professor Jasmine, where huge funding was injected into the university, but the funding dropped from 2016 onwards. The lack of funding for the last few years has caused the loss of talent and the inability to attract good students as well as sustain good research. So that's actually... that's really a good point. And I think it lines up with what Changda earlier was talking about as well, in the sense that focusing only on the research capability of the university as a marker of reputation, for instance, may not necessarily be an indicator of the university's overall ability to impart higher education. Winston, meanwhile, says, university rankings are just a comparison benchmark. What's important for graduates or postgraduates is to be able to have problem-solving minds, soft skills and employability. Winston, I mean, I agree. And I think that sometimes these sorts of rankings don't necessarily or aren't able to account for the kind of soft skills or the less tangible aspects of what makes a university attractive or a good place to get an education at. Do keep those thoughts coming. Do you care about university rankings? You can WhatsApp 018-789-8899, tweet us at BFM Radio.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my, BFM 89.9, the business station.